sending people over and things like that, because it's a real battle for them. They're a real minority over there, and especially with the new government in that is making it really, really hard for people to live for Christ and for people to minister to the people there in Jesus' name is very, very difficult. But what I really want to share is it's amazing how when somebody or something tries to stifle what God's doing, God makes a way. He's constantly at work, and it's been amazing to see, even though these various orphanages that we went to have been shut down, there's been amazing ways that God can still minister, and there's tuition centres that have popped up here, there and everywhere to minister to the same kids that were forcibly sent home because they weren't allowed to stay anymore. They're still being reached. And I just love seeing that even when something tries to shut God down, he's still doing amazing things. And even with these pastors, oh gosh, they're just so faithful, these amazing leaders. Sometimes these pastors have been off to Bible college. Some of them are just like really like new Christians, you know, Hindu converts or, mostly Hindu converts that I met. But it's just amazing. They're just so faithful and working so hard, working against you know, the majority while working for God. Not having many people to stand with them, but they are just so, so grateful for the support for that people are standing with them in prayer and standing financially. And it was just so amazing to see these amazing men that are just lives sold out for these incredible kids and for the elderly in the villages that we went to. And I think their strength, you know, God's strength in them is amazing, and the strength that they have, they can also be a great encouragement to the others around as well. So one highlight for me was in Rajahmundry, we had the kids come out, they bust a bunch of kids, about 70, sister, they'll be about 70, yeah, 200 later. It's like, oh, do we have enough stuff to try? But, you know, God is amazing. And so we had a few kids there over a couple of, I think 400 kids there over 2 days. And then the next 2 days we had another just over 200 elderly that came over the 2 days, and they came for a medical clinic. So we're running a bit of a medical clinic. I'm obviously not qualified to run medical clinics, but we had a couple of people that were doing the more med kind of stuff. And while they were doing that, while people were sitting in the waiting room, we were just giving these people a hand massage. Number one, it's just nice to treat people. Anyone like having a hand massage? It just feels like a real, you know, luxury. But for them, it was massive because they are untouchables. They are, you're the scum of the world in terms of what a lot of people say of them. You don't exist. You know, you're just not worth anything. And so to be untouchable and yet to have people, you know, just laying hands on them and looking into their eyes, you know. And so while they were waiting in the waiting room, we were just giving them a hand massage and praying for them. And I thought, gosh, I know I can't do the medical stuff, but that's a bit of pressure to be, you know, praying with this. I don't speak their language. There's one thing I learned how to say, and that is Devu Namakamanawaru, which is God is faithful. I wanted to learn that. One of the kids saw the tattoo on my foot and said, what's that? And I thought, how can I explain what this means without? So I learned that. That's in Telugu. But otherwise, this language barrier, I thought, this is so hard to try and, you know, they look you in the eyes and they pour out their hearts before you and they're like, oh, and this hurts and this hurts and this hurts and these fingers aren't there and this and, you know, and they just look into your eyes and I go, I can't speak or I can't understand, but you know what? God speaks their language. And it was just amazing. What I thought was such a barrier wasn't, because I can lay hands on them and pray for them. I can hold their hands and I can pray for them. And God prays, intercedes, and meets them where they're at. So it was actually a real blessing to be able to just pray for these amazing people. I mean, some of these people, that they took 5 minutes to walk into the room because they're so old and so frail and can barely sit, can barely stand, you know, but they made the effort. And the first thing they do, I go to massage their hands and I put oil on and they're like, yep. And they're ready to receive prayer. They're just ready, and they're ready to bring their needs before God. I was like, hold on, I'm just going to massage your hands. But they're just so hungry. They're just so hungry for God. And yeah, it was just amazing to just to see, you know, everywhere we went. And, you know, we went to church at Tirupati as well, Gali's church, who's he's now handed it over to his son, David. So David's pretty much running most of the ministry. So we went to their church, and straight after church, we finished, and they're all come out, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. It's like, we don't even speak a language, but they'll pray for me, pray. They're just so hungry for God. It's just amazing. So it was a real wake-up call to me that, you know, we can lay hands on people in Jesus' name. We can pray in our own language, but God meets them where they're at. And, you know, one woman, I barely held her hands. I think I put oil on her hands like this and just went, thank you, Jesus. And she was just pouring out before God, and, you know, God was doing something. And I'm like, yay, praise God that he does the work, because I had nothing to say. But it's just amazing what he's doing. And these local pastors that are just encouraging their the people in God's body, and encouraging them and providing for them. And yeah, they're just so hungry for God. Everything we did, they're like, oh, cool, can you pray? You know, at Gali's son's house, the place that he'd set up as the orphanage, they'd planted coconut trees maybe 5 years ago, and this was the first harvest. They'd waited till we got there so that they could harvest the coconuts and give us a coconut each to drink from their first harvest. But before we did that, but can you pray? Can you pray that this would be fruitful, and that this would be spiritually fruitful? And we just don't think to do that. Like, I'm sorry, I know, I don't go, oh, let's have a drink of coconut and let's just pray for spiritual fruitfulness. But they're just so hungry for God. And yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, I could say so many other things and I don't really know where to start. But what one thing that really stood out was just, you know, people are just hungry for God. And yes, most of the country have no idea of who Jesus is, and they don't understand their need for him yet. But in the midst of things trying to shut down God, God can't be shut down, and he is still doing amazing work. And they just really appreciate your prayers. So please pray for the people of India, pray for the pastors to still be strong and to get by, and to, you know, not just get by, you know, to thrive and to keep doing amazing work, because God's got such a heart and he's doing amazing things. We met countless Hindu converts and people that have just had, you know, visitations and radical transformations, and yeah, he's doing amazing work. So that's all for now.
Thanks, Mel. Yeah, what an experience. Thank you, girls, for bringing up there. You know, it's just a pleasure to be part of something outside of our own four walls. And when I went over there and a few years back and opened the orphanage initially that we built and prayed and financed, it was actually an orphanage, but now it's just a children's home. And the kids go to a government school, so they're not restricted by the rules and regulations of being, quote, in an orphanage, but they are fed, they're clothed, they're ministered to, and their education is enhanced by what goes on there, which is so good. And we know God's working. It was interesting, I got a message on my phone this week from a guy named Aloysius. Oh, and he was one of the guys I met when I first went over there, and he's just sent me a little note saying, praise God, still doing his work, motorbike still going well. And we came back, we said, this guy's got a need for a motorbike, and thank God we were able to then help him out. But and he was just saying how it's been such a blessing to him being able to go around and share the gospel to people in different villages. So he used to actually have to either hitchhike, walk, or public transport, which over there is about as reliable as, you know, well, better not say, but pretty bad. And he finally got this motorbike, and it's just freed him up to be able to move around. He's an ex-Catholic priest who got born again dramatically and has written a whole stream of songs and choruses that are now being sung throughout churches in India, which is probably a bit like the Hillsong of India on a much lower scale, but it's just really good to see. So, Mel, you've had an experience of a lifetime in a way, and it'll stay with you because there's just so much God's doing that we are a privilege to have some little input into. Over the last little bit, I've been ministering on carrying the name of Jesus. And we're not just meant to have that name as the end of our prayer chain, 10-10, over and out, in Jesus' name, amen. That name, Jesus, is a name that carries power, that carries authority, that carries a dynamic, that when a born-again believer says, in the name of Jesus, the whole of the portals of heaven are open to minister into that situation and release the power of God into whatever it is we have brought that name into. That name is the name God gave us to be His ambassadors on this planet, walk in, live in, and operate in fully. We are carrying not just the name in word, but we are carrying His name in reputation. We are carrying His name as His representatives, as His ambassadors. And as part of that, we're continuing on. Last week I talked about what Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Not about me, not learn from me, but learn of me. And that's so different. I used the illustration of young Anthony up the back there who's playing for Essendon Football Club, and he could teach me to kick a football. He could teach me some of the skills. Now, I'm a bit beyond it now, but if I was still young and, you know, in my 20s, maybe I could get into it. But to learn from him is one thing. To learn about him is another thing. A lot of people know a lot about football. They're spectator experts. Man, can they tell everybody what it's all about? But the passion that's in the man's heart is what I love. And I see that come out in his game. And learning of him is what's in there that makes the man on the football field. And it should be what we learn of God that is in us, that makes us the born-again believer in this planet to bring Jesus alive into a hurting world. If we learn of him, it's the passion God has. It's the heart God has. It's the intensity of God that brought his son to this planet to die for us, to save and redeem mankind from a life of sin and degradation and ultimately eternal judgment and punishment. But God has such a heart for this planet, for his creation. We learn of him, we will pick up that heart. We will pick up that desire. We'll pick up that passion when we learn of him. Trouble is the church, I think we've done Bible studies till Bible studies have come out our ears, and we know all about him. And we know all about the things from him that perhaps he's taught us over the years. But have we learned of him? Have we become him in person, in passion, in heart, intensity and giving of who God is in and through us? And I know that's what God wants when he says, learn of me, get hold of me. We've done Bible studies, and Jesus even said that to the Pharisees. You've studied the scriptures because you think in them you've got eternal life, but you've missed the point. These are they which speak of me, Yahshua Mashiach, who came as the Messiah, the anointed one of God, to come into a hurting world and be the sacrificial lamb, but then be the redeeming, eternal, mighty Son of God, ruling and reigning forever and giving his life to us. And because he did what he did, he said, the things I do, you will do, and greater works shall you do, because I'm going up to the Father to make sure it gets done. That's the name of Jesus that we're walking into, operating. Wow. That carries a load with it. You want to carry Jesus' name? Carry the responsibility. Carry the heart of God. Carry the passion of God into this world. Amen? And I finished last week by saying, get a vision that includes you as a channel of God's call and God's anointing and God's power to fulfill what he wants you to do on his behalf. Amen? Well, that's really chewing me up. And one of the scriptures that I didn't bring up last week, I want to start with today, is he's given us all things, in 1 Peter, I think it is, pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1, chapter 2 to 4, where here, He gives his salutation, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. Well, knowledge of him, yeah, important. And according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. It's the knowledge of God. It's the knowledge of him. Learn of him. Jesus said that amazing thing in John 14:12. He said, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, or his innermost being, of his inner core, will flow rivers of living water. And it's amazing that I heard a preacher preach on this scripture one, and this verse once, and he said, the scriptures have said out of our bellies will flow rivers. Well, Jesus didn't say that. He said, if you believe on me, as the scripture says. It's the believing on Jesus that's the critical factor in that verse. As the scripture says. Not as the church believes. Not as the world believes. Not as popular opinion would dictate. Not as preconceived ideas, concepts, or religious traditions have painted a picture of Jesus. And some pictures of Jesus I see painted, ugh, they make me sick. You see this poor, insipid man who looks like he's, you know, got no power in his life whatsoever. They put halos around him. And I remember being in a church over in Cologne in Germany. Massive thing called the Dome, right outside the Cologne railway station. It is a structure to be admired. Every little detail on that building has a Bible story on it. It goes from Adam to Noah, and all of the Bible stories in the Old Testament, all depicted in incredible carving and an intricate form. And you walk in, and it's just the most spectacular building to look at. But on one side of the foyer area, they've got Jesus on a cross, looking like he's finished and done with. And then on the other side, he's in a tomb, and people are sitting there, and they light candles, and they sit there and they bow, and they're all looking. And it was quite sad to see this depiction of our Lord Jesus in a mode that looks defeated. And I stood back from behind that crowd, and I was there with Steve-O. I said, isn't it incredible we don't serve a dead Christ on a cross? He's not there. And I walked over the other side and I said, loud enough for everyone to hear. I mean, I'm no chicken when it comes to crowds. I said, isn't it amazing we don't serve a dead Christ in a tomb? He rose again and he's seated at the right hand of the Father in power and great glory, and we're no longer serving a dead God. And you get all these looks. As if I'm a sacrilegious nut. Well, I'm not. I'm a God life nut. And I believe in a Lord Jesus who's risen from the dead. And I believe in a Lord Jesus who's alive forevermore. And I believe in a Lord Jesus who wants to see his church empowered to be his ambassador on this planet in a real way that affects the lives of men, women, and children everywhere. I'm a little bit disillusioned with the church in some ways because I find that we've become consumers rather than producers. I'll explain that shortly. But Jesus said, he that believes on me, well, I've given you the believing in him but in form, we've got to know what the word of God says about him and who he is, because he is the representative epitome of the living God to us, who came and brought God in real life to this planet so we could develop a relationship with God, not as a distant God, but as a God who's alive and indwelling each one of us. So we believe in him as the scriptures have taught us to and have said, missing nothing. And I really get angry when I hear preachers and some of the local ministers, unfortunately, oh, well, you know, that was good for that time, but it's not relevant for today. The word of God in that area was just for them. I want to sin and then get forgiveness later. You know what I mean? You can't do that. But you've got to turn around and say, but God's word is alive to each one of us. We've got to believe, as the scripture has says, then out of our innermost being, out of that inner source of life that God has planted within us, out of that heart that God gives us of himself, that life that is in us, his nature, his ways, his passion, and all that is there that God wants us to portray of him to this world becomes a living reality. And if we believe in Jesus, as the scripture has said, out of our belly, our inner self will flow. That word blew me away this week. I was thinking about it, and I started thinking of flow. When you look at a river, there's a source, and it's generally, it could be a spring, or it could be a mountain range, or it could be snow that's melted, or whatever have you. There's a source that causes a river to begin to flow. This is in the natural. And that flow doesn't have to be conjured up. It doesn't have to be man-made. It is natural. And a river finds its course and flows, whether you like it or not. It flows. And I love the way we can look at nature and see God in so much of even what his word said. And I referred to Genesis last week where it says, and God separated the waters. And there were waters above the planet, and there were waters below the firmament. There was a space in between. And he called us to see things from his position in the higher realms. We're seated with him in heavenly places to see things from his perspective, not ours. But even down on the planet, waters were there for a purpose, to water the earth and to bring life to the earth and to give the earth its capacity to produce. And the next thing that happened, life was generated, plants grew, and God was able to then create, because water was then fulfilling its purpose to nourish the planet. And we've got a twofold purpose in our lives. The first is to, as waters, which is peoples, if you take the scriptural analogy, to see things from God's perspective. When he separated the waters, he had twofold aspect to it and a double meaning in it. One was to see things from his perspective, from where we're raised up with him, and the other was to be effective in bringing life to this planet, on this earth. And God caused that, and he causes that in us. Out of our innermost being will flow, and from that flow that's generated from a life that's there, it should run as natural as any river does when it gets its source from wherever, whether it be an underground spring or whatever it may be. The natural flow of a river flows. And you can't do anything about it. When God wants something to flow, it flows. And rivers continue to flow. Now, there are things that perhaps can thwart the flow. And that can be a drought. And then the natural side of things, yeah, that can be pretty bad. I remember my uncle telling me, who had a farm just out of Mildura, and all my family grew up in the Wimmera, Mallee Wimmera region, and he said, you know, when summer came, the Murray stopped flowing, and that was our cricket pitch. He said, we used to get out there and level it off and play cricket and kick balls around and do all, it was our playground on the sands of the Murray. He said, now, he said, it's man has made all of these locks and dams and weirs and set up the Hume Weir, and it's able to then be constantly flowing all year round because of the way they've been able to back the water up and store it over a period of time. Well, there's an analogy that we need to take hold of. There's no drought in God's seasons, amen? Maybe we feel like we go through droughts, but we should have a reservoir of the life of God, because we're believing in him, and from out of our innermost being, that source continues to flow. That backup, that reservoir, whatever have you. There is another side of a dam too, which is a little bit of a negative, dams are there mainly because there's a consumerism involved. And because people need water, and because there needs to be provision. And today, in this day and age, we're so dependent. Last week, we had a burst main on our street. Got up in the morning, walked into the kitchen. Nothing. Nothing. The water had stopped flowing. Why? Because it was diverted somewhere else through a hole in the pipe, and there was plenty of water going down the gutters out the front of our place and down the street, but there was nothing where I needed it. And so having that supply back there in the natural did nothing for me, because there was a severing of the channels that was meant to bring the water to my place. But in God's situation, where's the severing of the channels? It can only be us if we cut it off. It can only be us feeling like I can't do this. Or maybe we feel dry. Or maybe we've just let the cares of this life take away from us. And you know something? The Word of God, if we're generated and believing the Word of God, we need to take it in its fullness to allow that flow to continue. And Jesus warned of that when he spoke to the Pharisees, and he said there was one thing more powerful than the Word of God, and he said that was your traditions, because by your traditions you can make the Word of God of no effect. You can thwart the flow. You can stop it. You can cut it off. And I tell you what, their traditions may have been through years and years of their beliefs and whatever have you, but I'm telling you, we're not much different here. If we're not careful, our tradition can be to get up on Sunday morning, go to church, hear a good message, get a shot in the arm, get blessed, worship God, go home. And our tradition can make the Word of God of no effect unless we're going to generate the life of God through believing the Word of God, applying it, and getting our lives in line with it to live as He wants us to live. There's a lot of difference in just getting into a traditional Christianity and getting into the life of God flowing in and through us. Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the scriptures have said, from your innermost being will flow. And you can't manufacture it, and you can't turn it on or turn it off at will. It has to be there constantly. And I'm telling you, when Mel goes over to India and she feels inadequate and she can't do much, there's a massage and there's a prayer that causes the flow to be there, because it's generating from a life she's got within her. And some of us might feel totally inadequate in so many situations, but if we begin to believe in Jesus as the scripture has said and what he's imparted into us and given us, we need to recognize the fact that there's a flow that has to take place, and you need to look for a river. Can you see one? Can I see one? Times I haven't been able to see it. Couldn't see the forest for the trees. But it wasn't God's fault, because I wasn't expecting it. My traditions of thinking, my concepts, took away the reality of the flow of God in my life. Because I was taught, growing up in the church, and as much as they meant well, there were ministries. And one had a healing ministry, and one had a this ministry, and everyone. And so we worshipped the ministries. And then when there were miracles, we worshipped the miracles. We got in awe of the miracles, and we got in awe of the ministries. And the ministries were put on little pedestals in all of our thinking minds. Whereas what God said in Ephesians chapter 5, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the bringing to maturity, or the perfecting of every saint. Every saint. I'm preaching the Word of God today as a pastor in this church or as a teacher, but I am a saint just like you and I are, as in God's kingdom, as part of his full worldwide church, and I have to do what it says next, to do the work of the ministry. The training that I've had and my training in imparting to you is no different. When I get outside those doors, I function as you function. I have to be another soldier in God's army. I have to be another representative and ambassador for him, doing the work of the ministry. So the work of the ministry has actually been given to every believer. A he or she that believes, as the scripture has said, from out of his innermost being, will flow. And we learn of God, and we learn of his word, and we learn of his passion, and learn of his heart. And we say, God, I see this world that I'm in needing you. What can you do through me? And he says, everything. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Wow. Are we in short supply? Never. Are we capable and able through him that loved us? Always. Do we do it? Do we see a river? Do you know what it says? It doesn't say a river. It says, shall from his innermost being shall flow rivers. Plural. It's plural. So there's a life in every part of what God has for us and puts through us to meet every possible situation. We can never turn around and say, oh, that's a situation I'm not familiar with. I'm not going to get involved in that. No, we just say, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm trusting you. And I know your life needs to be poured out in this person's heart or in this family's life or in this situation. God, let that river flow through me now in Jesus' name. And I tell you what, you take the step of faith and you pray in faith and you believe God. You'll see things happen and I'll see things happen. And you know something, when I feel the most inadequate but still go out and do something like that, I find God's the most faithful and takes over where I'm down. You know, it's Jesus, when someone comes to Jesus and he says, all things are possible to those who believe. And the guy's response was, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Listen, I can only believe so much, but God, please bridge the gap. And he does. And he does. He takes, waits for us to take one step, and then he enables the rest. We've got to learn to take that one step, amen? Let the rivers begin to flow. Let the rivers of life start to be generated from out of our innermost being to allow God to be the source of life flowing through us to others. The problem with a lot of flows, as I said, they build dams, and they build dams to quite often maintain source and to maintain in the natural water availability. Well, we don't have that problem so much, apart from the fact that we ignore the word of God and ignore God coming into our life. We get dried up because we've got a need. We need him to be constantly pouring into us. And I surrender to him afresh every day. I wake up every morning and I say, Lord, thank you. Your mercies are new to me every morning. I surrender to you afresh today, whatever it is you have for me today, Lord. If there's an area I can be effective for you, I just want you to know I'm ready. Do I always fulfill it? No. But I'm learning. And I'm preaching and teaching from a heart today that is seeking for God to be more effective through me. And I've said, Lord, if I'm to carry your name, if I'm to be your ambassador practically as well as being here as a saved Christian, Lord, I need to go on further. I need your heart and your life and your passion. I need to learn of you in a way that makes you such a reality in me that I'm an extension of your life to the world that I can touch. Is it easy? No. But does it take a little bit of guts? Yeah. Does it matter about personality? Not at all, because we're trusting God. And if we're just damming up the waters for our own use and church and our Christianity is, Lord, bless me and prosper me and bless my family, bless my kids, bless my home. Lord, I love you. Amen. 10-10 over and out. And we're using it as our own blessing source rather than being a charging source to be able to give out from. We've become consumers and not producers. God is looking for producers in the church. And when the church has become so infiltrated or populated by consumers rather than producers, we're in trouble. We've missed the call of God. We've missed the life of God flowing to where it's meant to flow. We've missed the purpose of it all because we've taken what God wants for our lives to generate his life to this world, and we've just put it into our own little dam, and we haven't let the floodgates open up to take it on anywhere else. We need to look at it and say, Lord, am I a consumer or am I a producer? Am I using your blessings in life just for my benefit and for those around me in my own little circle? Or, Lord, am I releasing the floodgates of heaven through my life to touch others? I remember years ago we used to sing a song. Now, most of you won't know it. Any of you old Pentecostals might. And it went like this. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, set the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. And you know, that's a great song. That actually sings the reality of what God wants us to do. Open prison doors, set the captives free. There's a river of life. And then the next verse went into concept. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well, let others see. There's a river of life flowing out from. It went from making the lame to walk and the blind to see until, Lord, make me whole. Stupid song. Started off well, ended up ridiculous. The focus went from God to me. You know, I start to think, I love those things once. I used to sing them because they were being sung everywhere. We never thought about them. But we were filled with concepts. And concepts create traditions. And they create a situation where the word of God is made of no effect. Be careful. When we sing things, let's sing things that make God a reality in our lives, that enhance the word of God, that support the word of God, and that generate the life of the word of God in such a way that we believe on Jesus as the scripture has said to, in order for the things to flow, for God to flow. It's not a bless me or bless my ministry or my anything. It's a river that takes away from me to glorify God. Amen. Jesus said, if you drink of the water I give, it shall be a well that springs up into everlasting life. So he has created a source that enables the rivers to flow. And we've just got to make sure we are channeling it the way God wants it to. We need to believe on him. We need to make sure the word is in its right place. Out of our innermost being will flow plural rivers to meet every need and every situation. And I know that there's times when rivers actually break their banks, and I'm believing for God that if we begin to be channels of his life and we see his life flowing through us, and from out of our innermost being we begin to allow his rivers to flow, and we're touching the people that we're in our little world, you know what will happen? God will honor that, and he'll pour out from heaven a deluge and a flood of rain that then causes the rivers to break their banks. And when the rivers break their banks, what happens? The whole of the land begins to get covered in the effects of that flood. And I'm believing God. We've been praying and praying. God, we're praying for Gisborne. We're praying for the Macedon Rangers. We're praying for this region, Lord God, for your anointing, your power, and your life to bring men and women into your kingdom. Well, I'm telling you what, there's a river that needs to start to flow from the churches and the people of God that are here and the saints of God, that'll start a generative effect for God to begin to pour out his spirit and create a flood to come across this land. And I really see that we're a part and parcel of what God wants to do. I have to stop and look, and I ask myself this week if I can see a river, even one, or rivers, plural. And I turn around and I said, God, seen effects of it, but I don't see it in constant flow. And I was totally honest with God this week as he was challenging me. And I said, what up, Lord? I've missed it somewhere. And I know the source is there, and I know the life's there. And I just said, God, I want to repent. I want to turn from where I've been. And Lord, I want to see more of your life that you've given me, not dammed up, but flowing out. Flowing out. I'm so grateful for the things that God's done, for the amazing way he opens his word, for the amazing way he reveals himself, for the awesome God that we worship today, for who he is, a good, good father, a great God, an awesome God. He is incredible. But I've got him. Now I want to let him go. I want to release his life. I want to see his life flow from me in a way where God's glory is permeating people's lives with a touch of God's life and God's generative power and God's flow. Not that it has to be anything dynamic or spectacular to start with. It just needs to be my step of faith in situations where God is needed, where maybe I can massage someone's hands and pray for them, or maybe I can be God's answer to someone's need. I don't know. It can be, but we need to be prepared in heart and in passion and have that ability for God's life to be so permeating us in a way that it flows every time we see the need in our lives. And it happens. Pinto was telling me earlier, he wants to see God's glory revealed in such a way that his unbelieving wife would get born again. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for your anointing on this man. Lord, the river of life to flow in such a way, Father God, that it carries all and sundry with it, that it washes away tradition, it washes away preconception, it washes away the deceit and the lies of religion and gives life into a situation. Lord, we command now in the name of Jesus that the blind scales fall from his wife's eyes. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we release your spirit into her life now to open her heart, to open her mind, and to open herself to receive your word, Lord God. And Father, I pray that river of life that you generate within this man, your servant, your saint, today, Lord God, would be a river of life that permeates his wife's heart now in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. When he said that to me this morning, my heart nearly broke. I enjoy the pleasure of a wife that works with me in the kingdom of God. And I know what restriction that could be. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we've set a spiritual seed in motion now. You come back and tell me when she's given her life to Christ. I won't be far away. Keep your ticket to Melbourne and Gisborne ready. You know, if you've been convicted by that, and in the name of Jesus, you really want to find God flowing through you in more effective way, just do what I did. Get on your knees and seek God and say, Lord, let my life be a channel for you to let your glory flow. And I do believe on you as the scripture said. And I will drink of the water that you've given, and it will be in me flowing and producing, springing up into everlasting life. And I'm not going to let anything stop it, Lord, hinder it, and I'm not damming it up for myself, and I'm not looking for anything for me, but Lord God, I want to serve you far more effectively in a way that changes lives. There's a river of life, rivers of life available within. If they ain't flowing, let's seek God to get them going. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your challenge. I thank you for your passion and your heart. And Lord God, we've set ourselves today to learn of you and to know what your word says so that those rivers would flow unhindered. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't he? God's amazing. God is faithful. And God is taking us on in such an awesome way with his love and gentleness and his passion and his heart. And you know, just seeing God for who he is so, so inspiring. And I'm reading the Bible again, just like Rake said a couple of weeks ago. God challenged him to start reading the Word and set aside everything he ever believed about things and just see it in new light and say, Lord, open your Word to me now and read it without any preconceptions. And he said, I'm learning stuff I never knew was there. Well, I challenge you to do the same thing, to let the rivers flow. Amen? Amen. Now, we will sort prayer meeting out this week, how, when, where, and why. It won't be Wednesday because that's my 24th of January is our wedding anniversary. So we'll make the most of that. So it won't be prayer meeting Wednesday night, but we'll just see who's around and when, whatever, to sort something out this week. So wait for the texts, and but in the meantime, get hold of that river, get hold of that flow, and say, God, come on, I want to be the person that is effective for you, and I don't want anything to hold it back. Bless you all. Have a wonderful, awesome, blessed, God-inspired week, and I trust God opens so many doors for each one of us to allow a river to begin to flow. Want to see rivers, rivers, rivers of living water in Jesus' name. God bless you all. Where's the other microphone? I didn't know how, when, where, or why Jeff was. Jeff and Julie are moving next Friday up to a place called Dereal near Ballarat, and this is his last day with us. Can we come out and pray for him? Get a few people here. You want to just? He wants to say something first, but we want to pray with him and his family before they go.
Came and to this church, there wasn't a river flowing from me, I can assure you. I was dead against, I was against the structures of the church. And since then, through Ken, Lexi and others, I began to realise what God does. I can't describe it, and I don't want to describe it. At times, it really annoys me. At times, it really makes me feel glad. I've really appreciated coming here. I only came here for the coffee at first.
We need
I'll
that.
Be honest with you. And the only reason I'm leaving is because the coffee's not that good, actually.
Best in Gisborne by far, mate.
But what I want to do is say not just thank you to Ken, Lexi, but to all of you, and especially to God for introducing me to this place. Because if it wasn't for the rivers flowing from this place, I don't know, I would never have got in touch with God. I'm going to miss you all. I'm going to miss taking the mick out of Davin. Because, you know, you keep on hoping that they'll win, you know, and that's good. But most of all, I'm going to miss the camaraderie and love what comes here and the support what comes here. I'm not going to say bye, because bye means forever. I'm going to say au revoir, and you may see me back again, so bad luck. but thank you, not again, thank you, and thank you, Lord.
Amen. I got the other mic anyway, I don't need that one. Dave, Joe, and a couple of others, Matt, Darren. How about you, Anthony? Can you just come and help lay hands on Joe, on Jeff now? And I think if we just stand around him as a group of men, just to support this man in his ventures and his family, just pray for God's direction to open up so many channels and so many doors for their family, especially up there. Closest area is Ballarat, but there's plenty of great churches and fellowship, and I just believe God will open up doors for him. Amen. Father, we stand together in agreement in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for Jeff and the way that you've changed his life and the journey that he's on, for his children, for his wife, and for the way, Lord God, that you've introduced yourself to them in a way that you've been seen to be so real. Father, I thank you for their openness and their heart to you now, and that you've changed them so much and you've brought them into a place, Lord, where your life is permeating their lives daily, from day to day. I ask, Lord God, that this transition will be a transition that your hand is on in every way, and that, Father, you will open doors for them to receive your life and your fellowship and your blessings through other areas where your rivers are flowing in the locality that they're moving into. I thank you for the open doors you've placed in his life for work and other areas, and I ask, Lord God, that you'll continue to give him direction, correction, and protection in all that he is, says, and does, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't he? God is good, and God will take him on. Just keep praying for him in Jesus' name. There's coffee available, a bit of fellowship out there if you don't have to rush off in a hurry.